For the city of New Orleans, Hurricane Katrina was not so much a sudden calamity as a slow-motion catastrophe. The whole country watched in agony as the floodwaters rose and houses, neighborhoods, and society itself began to disintegrate along with the city's broken levees. 60 Minutes correspondent Scott Pelley's been in New Orleans this weekend looking into how much of what happened was natural disaster and how much was man-made and avoidable.
The mayor of New Orleans, Ray Nagin, is on his way to take the measure of the misery in the worst American disaster in 100 years. Most of his city has surrendered to the sea. The streets of the Big Easy are now subject to the tides of the Gulf of Mexico.
Every person is hereby ordered to immediately evacuate.
2 days before the storm, Nagin ordered the biggest evacuation in U.S. history, but he told us he never imagined his city would be abandoned, as he sees it, by the state and federal government. Nagin says communications failed and agencies dithered over jurisdiction while New Orleans drowned.
Too many people died because of lack of action, lack of coordination, and some goofy laws that basically say there's not a clear distinction of when the federal government stops and when the state government starts. And if you have if the federal government takes over, then you're giving up some powers, or if the governor don't ask the president and the president don't ask the governor. And it was just BS.
Bureaucracy.
Bull crap. When people are dying, bureaucracy should be thrown out of the water.
You think people died because the relief was delayed?
There's no doubt about it. I watched a guy jump from the Superdome yesterday. Just couldn't take it anymore. We have two police officers that have committed suicide. They couldn't take it anymore. This is hell. And to have this happen in the United States of America, in the state of Louisiana, and to not have immediate response, regardless of the laws, is tragic.
You know what the national response authorities would say? It's a disaster. It's hard to get stuff in there. But it's hard to fly the helicopters and the trucks in there.
Man, I don't want to hear any of that. This is a national disaster on U.S. soil. And if we can deploy troops around the world, if we can deploy National Guards in a confined area, this is a small city. It's about 500,000 people. We're not talking about taking over a country. We're talking about 500,000 people, and with all the resources that this state and this country has, it should have gotten done quicker.
We met Nagin at his headquarters, this shattered downtown hotel with no power, no water.
It's crazy, man, I'm telling you.
He's a former cable TV executive with no political experience. He won a surprise victory in 2003. This week, holed up in the darkness, he lashed out on a radio talk show, saying that distant politicians were bragging about their efforts while his city descended into chaos.
And they don't have a clue what's going on down there. They flew down here one time, 2 days after the doggone event was over, with TV cameras, all kind of goddamn, excuse my French, everybody in America. But I am pissed.
On the radio show, you said that the people who failed to bring aid in here in 24 or 48 hours ought to go to hell.
Well, I said they're going to have to account for that. And here's the issue. And here's what the nation needs to get ready for. They're seeing, you know, the starving people and evacuations and the lawlessness, and, you know, that's all entertaining. But let me tell you what's getting ready to happen. We're getting ready to drain this city, and then we're going to go and seek and find missions for dead bodies. And the body count is going to go up, and it's going to go up to a tremendous level. And then everybody's going to start to wonder, did more people die because of the storm or because of the lack of response? And that's going to be the big question.
Even now, some people remain trapped.
There's some people up there by that blue.
On our flight, Nagin noticed a man marooned and delivered the aid himself.
When you were looking at your city from the helicopter today, Mayor, I had the sense that your heart was broken.
You know, my heart is broken, and, you know, it's a tough thing. When you see a city that you love so much, and you see it so devastated and so almost dead, and you wonder what the future looks like. I'm basically homeless now.
Nagin says the nation still doesn't know how desperate New Orleans was in the hours of anarchy, the 3 days before the National Guard broke through.
My police chief almost got kidnapped. He was trying to calm the crowd out at the convention center, and they basically got in the middle of a crowd, and the guys tried to basically take him as a hostage. I mean, there's stories that, you know, are unbelievable. Police officers crying, screaming over the radio, "I'm under fire, help, I'm running out of ammunition." My assistant police chief basically said that's the first time in 25 years he ever heard of a police officer in the city of New Orleans saying he's getting ready to run out of ammo in a gunfight. I mean, there's stories, people giving me babies, saying, "Look, take my baby, please. I cannot take care of it." You know, a little old lady saying, "You know, just let me lay down and die." I mean, you want stories? There's stories.
You find a story on every corner when you walk in the dark, oily water downtown. It's strange to feel with your feet things you're used to seeing, things like curbs and flower pots. We were walking on Tulane Street when we came across an armada of airboats.
Where are you going? You have the hospital?
Down to the courthouse. You go by the hospital if you want to.
How long have those folks been in there?
I don't know. No. We know at least since the storm.
How do I get on this thing without tipping it over?
You ain't gonna tip
it over.
They were Texas game wardens heading to evacuate the biggest public hospital in the state. This is what their drive down Tulane is like. Here, the living have waited days for rescue, and the dead, of unknown names and numbers, wait in the debris still. Not a priority, not yet. We got to Charity Hospital as the last were loaded, and like the mayor said, here's a story. Hundreds of patients trapped for days without power. Dr. Peter W. helps run the ER.
In the space of an hour and a half, we moved our entire emergency department up one full flight of stairs. In an hour and a half, we had over 50 critically ill patients moved up stairwells because the elevators are shot, gone. No electricity, no power, nothing to do it by. So we were using flashlights and then jerry-rigged ventilators, everything else to ventilate, breathe for people, and have the critical care capacity.
But even so, Dr. Ben Dubois Blanc says some patients died who might have been saved.
Tell me about one patient that you lost, that you remember.
The little lady who sat in our ICU for 3 days, had a breathing problem, was on a mechanical ventilator. Her husband sat with her 24 hours a day, and because the electricity was out, while he would sleep, he would fan her. He would just try to keep her cool, and he would drift off to sleep. We got her over to the heliport, to the top of the parking garage, and her vital signs began to deteriorate. And we knew that she was going to die.
She died on the roof waiting for a helicopter.
She died on the rooftop waiting for a helicopter. I haven't spoken to her husband. I don't even know where he is. I don't even know if he knows she's dead.
There is joy in rescue, but remember, most of these people have no place to go. Prisoners of the storm are now refugees. One face tells it all, relief, then regret, and a last look at her job for who knows how long. The final evacuation of the stranded is progress. A huge military rescue thunders through the city under the command of Lieutenant General Russell Honoré.
I want that on the ground so the trucks can go get another load.
Yes, sir.
You can make that happen?
I can make it happen, sir.
You're the man.
Yes, sir.
He's a man the mayor calls John Wayne.
This is a complex problem. It's called a disaster. Look up the meaning of a disaster.
Sir, you understand the frustration that Americans felt all across the country when they were watching on television, people on their roofs, people at the convention center and at the Superdome for days.
Oh, man.
And people are saying, where's the Army? Where's the National Guard? Why has this taken so long?
It took time to get here. And who on that first day knew the levee was going to break? We are blessed in a way that those people made it to the dome.
But the dome was a blessing?
It was a blessing. What would have been the opposite of the storm? They all would have drowned. We would have lost a hell of a lot more people. A hell of a lot more people would have perished.
Right outside this hotel?
Yes.
There are bodies floating in the water?
Yes.
And to people who say, you got to move faster, you got to do more, when are you going to get that cleaned up? You say what?
Well, right now, I could either have these troops go do this or move the living. What would you do?
We stopped on Jeanette Street to find the Army picking up the living one at a time. The neighbors told us the soldiers wanted all the sick and injured brought to this intersection. So there they were, under the hurricane of a Black Hawk. It was incredibly efficient, but the neighbors could be forgiven if they thought this might be the thing that would finally do them in. As people flew off Jeanette Street, across town, sandbags were falling.
Getting ready to drop, and away they go.
And disappearing into one of three breaches that betrayed New Orleans to the sea. We learned something that surprised us here. Despite what you've been hearing, not one of New Orleans' levees failed. All of the massive earthen levees survived. The failure was in flood walls like this one on the 17th Street Canal. The flood walls are miles long, but only 2 feet thick.
You never know which way the track's going to go. And
Al Naomi is the man who manages New Orleans flood control for the Army Corps of Engineers. He was probably the first to understand what was about to happen to New Orleans.
The flood wall is very unforgiving. It's either there or it's not.
The walls were designed in 1965 to withstand a Category 3 storm, Category 4 Katrina, pushed her surge over the top.
It just was overtopped and the water started pouring over. The support for the flood wall failed and it just pushed out and toppled over and that was it.
What could have been done before now to prevent this from happening?
I don't know. I don't think
You know this better than anyone.
Well, yeah, but you see, there was not sufficient money or time to do anything about this. If somebody had said, okay, here's $1 billion. Stop this failure from happening for a Category 4. It couldn't have been done in time. I'd have had to start 20 years ago. To where I feel today, I would have been safe from a Category 4 storm like Hurricane Katrina.
Shouldn't this have been done 20 years ago?
Sure. It should have been done 20 years ago. But, you know, what can we do about that? You have to recognize before we had Category 3 protection, we didn't have anything.
On Friday, President Bush came to see for himself and ran into Hurricane Nagin. The president offered the mayor the first water he was happy to see in 5 days, a shower aboard Air Force One. When the president came, did you unload any of that radio talk show stuff on him?
No, I didn't, but he was well aware of it. And I pulled him on the side with the governor. I said, look, that was uncharacteristic for me. But consider being in my shoes. What would you have done? And if I said anything disrespectful to the office of the president or the governor, I apologize. But tell me what we're going to do now.
And what did the president say?
The president basically said, Mr. Mayor, I know we could have done a better job, and we're going to fix it.
President acknowledged to you that it wasn't handled in the best way?
Well, he said they could have done better.
You're pretty frank with the president.
Well, the president asked me to be frank. I mean, he said to me, he said, look, I think I've been hearing a lot of stuff that may not be true. I want to hear from you. Tell me the truth, and I will help you.
The truth about New Orleans is, incredibly, that the worst is yet to come. Once the flood walls are plugged, the city's network of pumping stations will start to drain the city. That'll take weeks at least. But before they can even begin to make the city livable, they will have to deal with the debt.
Now think about this. Every house that's flooded right now, we have to go in and see if there's anybody in it. And God forbid, take those who didn't make it. Every building, every room.
What are you going to find, sir?
I think we're going to find a lot of people.
Try to give me some sense of what you think the possibilities are in terms of the casualties.
Well, let me put it to you this way. We evacuated 80% of the people in the city as it relates to this particular event. Do the math. That's 100,000 left. We've evacuated 35,000 people so far. Let's say there's another 15,000. There's 50,000 people unaccounted for. Which number you want to pick? 5%? 10%? 15%? I don't know, but I think it's going to be significant.